Remarks and rules and regulations. So I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of this meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at this meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, and type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Thus, the rules are out of the road. So we move on to the first item on the agenda, which is apologies. Any apologies coming in?
No.
No?
No apologies from officers, Chip.
No, that's good. So I have just a few remarks I'd like to make. I would like to thank Councillor Catherine Owen, our outgoing chairperson, for her professional manner in which she chaired this committee. Unfortunately, her era was brought to an abrupt end by the COVID-19 crisis. I would also like to thank Councillor Terry Hertig for his many years' service to the Council and, in particular, his contribution to Neighbourhood Services Committee. Terry, enjoy your well-deserved retirement. I would also like to welcome our new Councillor, Aoife Finnegan, to this committee and wish her well in her new role. So, item two is declarations of conflicts of interest. Have we any issues there?
None, Chairperson.
None. Okay, we move on to item three, which is to agree start times for Neighbourhood Services Committee meetings. I think, Roland, you're going to come in on that, are you?
Yes, Chair, thank you. Item three is detailed within the agenda there. We've got the start dates listed with the meeting times confirmed for or proposed for 6 o'clock. So looking for a proposer and a seconder just to confirm that, Chair.
Okay, we have Terry Andrews is proposing.
Yes, I would propose, Chairperson, that we remain at the same starting time of 6 p.m. for the year ahead.
Okay, and Willie Clark, are you happy to second that?
Yes, Chair, I'm happy to second that. I think 6 o'clock works well for everybody. I wish you good luck in your role as Chair for the committee.
Thank you, Willie. Okay, so everyone in agreement with that? Okay, we'll move on to item four, which is the action sheet arising from the Neighbourhood Services Committee meeting held on Wednesday, the 18th of March, 2020. And I'll just go through each sheet for accuracy. So can I get a proposer and a seconder for that, please? Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, and page 5. So we have a proposer there from Terry Andrews. Anyone like to come in and second the accuracy of the action sheet? Thank you, Harald. Terry and Harald, can you just speak for the audio for the tape, please?
I'd like to propose item four, Chairperson.
Thank you. Harald, can you second that, please?
Sorry, I was mute there. Yes, I second that item four, yes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Roland, are you coming in on that one?
Chair, just if there's any matters arising, if there's not, then happy to move on.
Is there Terry Andrews has a question there, Roland.
Thanks very much, Chair. Roland, in relation to the fire at the Mindy building at the Struil Assembly, is there any update on what's happening there? And I know probably with the COVID emergency has probably stalled things a bit, but I'd be grateful for your update on that. Thank you.
Yes, Chair. Again, we have made contact with the insurers and understand that this matter will be progressing for a repair. You're right, Terry, through the chair, that we have had issues just from a COVID perspective to try and move this forward. But I know that officers will be discussing how we move this forward over the next months.
Roland, thanks very much, and also like to put on record appreciation of our assembly staff, especially in the circumstances in which they're operating at the moment. They're all doing a first class job, so we'd be more than grateful if you could pass on our appreciation to all who work in our cemeteries.
Will do.
Okay, if there's no more questions, we'll move on to item five. Thank you. So item five is the Neighbourhood Services Emergency Business Plan from April to September 2020. Roland, you're going to come in on that.
Thank you, Chair. Our elected members will know that the Council has a process now to establish emergency business plans for each directorate to hopefully deal with the situation we find ourselves in from a COVID perspective. So they have been developed over the month of April and May, and it really is to help the officers and the Council manage our response. The plan, as detailed, gives an overview of the financial and human resources, the challenges, opportunities, customer needs, and risk management implications that we're facing, but also then details some of the actions, particularly when you look at the new actions that we've had to undertake, some of the essential actions that we've had to continue, our statutory responsibilities, some actions that have been ongoing and some that have been delayed, and even some items where we've had to suspend just based on priorities. So the report contained within the appendix summarises the findings and the themes across the directorate. It's contained within the appendix there, Chair, so this evening we're looking for a proposal and a seconder, but happy to take any questions or any issues that the elected members have.
Sorry, Roland, the chair has actually dropped off the call there. I'm just trying to add her back in.
Okay, no problem.
Could we put a movie or something on in the short term?
Well, I'll tell you what, in the meantime, till the chairperson is reconnected, Charlie, you have a question on item 5?
I have, yeah.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Are you vice chair, yes?
Yes, I'm vice chair.
Good man, Terry. It's to do, I know, congratulations on that report, Roland, and it's fluid, it depends entirely on how we work at the Assembly, how the parties work at the Assembly. It's changing on a daily basis. And it's around some of the things we had to suspend or restrict. And two in particular was the recycling centres and the bulky lift service. Now, I'll raise it now just in case I can't finish out the meeting later on. It may well come in at that stage. But when can we see a full return or almost full return to opening times at the recycling centre, for instance, on Friday and maybe Saturday morning, to accommodate quite a lot of dumping that seems to be happening because we are in restricted times and the bulky lift? Can we restore that particular service because there is a huge demand for it? Thanks, Terry.
Okay. Roland?
Thank you, Chair. Well, in relation to the household recycling centres, Charlie, we have a paper on later on in the committee which will set out the phased approach. Johnny McBride will be taking that paper, and I'm hopeful that he'll be able to give an indication of sort of timescales for moving through that process, albeit we can't confirm that until we move through each stage, but certainly he will be able to do that. In relation to the bulky waste, the focus has been getting the HRC waste materials acceptable, so we now know that we can accept the vast majority of bulky items at HRCs, which is a welcome addition for our customers and our citizens. We will be looking at a recovery of the bulky waste service, but I'm sure you appreciate our priority with the waste collection services is obviously with the refuse collection. So as soon as we can recover that service as well, Charlie, we'll absolutely keep the members updated.
That's good. When is Johnny's paper? How far on the meeting is it? What item are we talking about?
I think it's 7 or 8, Charlie. Maybe, no, it's maybe 8 or 9, I think.
No, that's okay. Thanks. Thank you.
Sorry about that, folks. My computer went a bit quickly. Have we any other questions on item 5?
Councillor Willie Clark, Una.
Pardon?
Councillor Willie Clark's on for a question.
Thanks, Terry.
You're welcome, Una.
All right, thanks for that, Terry and Una. First of all, I would just like to say, pay tribute to the frontline staff, and the management for keeping the collection of the bins. You know, it's almost been like a seamless exercise, and you have to pay great credit to the people and a lot of juggling of staff and resources and training up other staff. So, it has to be recognised, and Roland and your team, I would like to thank you for that, because it's one of the most important frontline services, our bin collection. So I just want to put that on the record. In regards to some issues, the issue about the roundabout sponsorship rollout, will it be introduced or is it too late to introduce? Roland's the first question. In regards to illegal dumping, obviously it's been very difficult even, to look at how we can get convictions in regards to the illicit dumping. This seems to be the same people doing this all the time, and using the coronavirus as a pandemic as an opportunity to do it. So how many, convictions have we made this year in regards to illegal dumping? Are we improving our skills set in regards to, finding people for these illegal dumping? And there's a point that I want to raise, and it's not a negative to the staff or anything like that, Roland. It's in regards to, with toilets not being opened, people have went to the toilets down laneways and stuff like that, and particularly thinking about Main Street in Newcastle. There's a number of laneways, St Mary's Lane, the lane to the beach, and the laneway to Valencia Place. There's been a lot of illegal urination in them alleyways, and they do need power host. So I'm putting that sort of, I know the toilets are now open, and the toilets doesn't, allow or condone anybody that's breaking the law by going to the toilet in these laneways. So I just I'm flagging it up. It's been flagged up to me by residents. I visited a couple of laneways this morning, and you know, it's a horrendous smell, you know, so we're going to have to get, with the hot weather and that, we're going to have to look at maybe power hosing them. All right, Chair?
Thanks, William.
Okay, Chair, if I can come back in and on those questions from Councillor Clark. So in relation to the roundabouts, at this point we're suggesting that we just delay it for a number of months until we get past the September point. There are a number of reasons for that. It's a resource-dependent activity, and our resources are focused on some of the key activities at the moment. Also, with a lot of businesses not being fully up to speed, this may not be one of their priorities to be engaging in a sponsorship scheme. So we felt, for those reasons, that activity should be delayed. In relation to the illicit dumping, I don't have the numbers to hand, Councillor Clark, but I can get them for you. Our enforcement activities have continued, and we are in the process of supplementing our resources with additional seasonal enforcement staff, again, which should have a positive impact to deter and hopefully catch people who have undertaken this illegal activity. So I do hope that is a welcome step. In relation to the power hosing of private laneways, and unfortunately on this occasion we would not be able to undertake that activity, as that is not our property. I do understand that the toilets across all council areas has been an issue. But again, we can only act for the areas that we are responsible for.
Back. There's a couple of laneways during the streetscape that we actually, carried out works on them laneways. We done brick paving on them. And I think the council did take them into their ownership for responsibility of cleaning, rolling, particularly St Mary's Lane one. And the one leading to Valencia Place, I think the council took a commitment that they would clean them two laneways following the works during the streetscape.
Chair, if it's okay, I mean, if I can contact Councillor Clark tomorrow, get one of the officers, and we'll look into the council's responsibility for those laneways. Indeed, if we do have a responsibility, then we will undertake it. But in general, private laneways, we do not have a responsibility. But we will certainly look into the locations that have been raised and take that forward.
Thank you.
Okay, William. Terry, have you a question there for Roland?
I have indeed, Chairperson. The councillor, Willie Clark, before me, echo the sentiments. No. Our frontline staff and the directorate are to be commended, and the refuge collections, and they've worked seamlessly and tirelessly to ensure that the service is delivered to T. The points Willie did cover on that I was going to raise too was about the fly tipping. I've seen a lot of that increase in right across our district over since COVID. They kicked in and the resource centres closing as a result. Now they're back up again. But I'm just wondering, also going along the roads, you know, people are leaving gloves, leaving litter and all behind them. And is there any possibility maybe the council could join up with the likes of Road Service as a joint team to clean up once it can be done in a safe manner? You know, it's just people are just throwing stuff left, right and centre. They don't care. They take the stuff with them, but they don't want to bring it home. And it's just unsightly, especially around the countryside and on the grasses and verges and approaches to the towns and all. But thank you.
Okay. Roland, Henry Riley has a question for
you. Thanks, Madam Chair. Just to Roland, on that issue of Newcastle and the illegal use of property for toilets, I had people on to me about that, and I advised that I would supply a bottle of red labelling for them if it is definitely private property, and to let them do it themselves with watering can. But Roland, could I just again say to you, I've already emailed you about this, but the toilet block in Kilkeale. We've now got five open in Newcastle with the second phase of opening, but Kilkeale still nothing. And over the weekend, we had literally thousands of people on the mountain walking, climbing down around the beaches, and they're all in Kilkeale doing the same thing as what Councillor Clark described in Newcastle. And we definitely need you to look at that rule, because we've only one set in Kilkeale and Annalong, and they desperately need it. On public health grounds, I would suggest they need it. Thank you, Chair Manager.
Thank you. Henry, Councillor Malone has a question.
Yeah, it's for Ronan. Ronan, regards to the illegal dumping, we have a number of areas, particularly in your area, where Bulls Hill, up at the Red Bridge, Upper Catherine Street, where approximately 6 or 7 bags are getting dumped in the street every week. Places where it's happening regularly, and myself, and I'm sure our councillors are being inundated, and they're asking the same question. If there's hot spots, can there not be hidden cameras put in to have a zero tolerance approach? Are we going to deal with this? Are we going to continue to come to meetings talking about what we're going to do? There's a number of spots in your area where every single day there's stuff being dumped, and it's not acceptable, and there needs to be a message put across these people that we're not going to tolerate it no more. It's horrendous, and it's shocking, and needs to be dealt with as a matter of urgency. Thanks.
Thank you, Gavin. Roland, are you okay to answer that?
Yeah, no problem. So the first one from Councillor Andrews in relation to I think it was littering and PPE being discarded. I know that, again, this is a problem across all 11 council areas, and indeed NIEA and DIRA are looking at a campaign across the 11 to try and prevent and get the message out that this is not acceptable. Just in relation to the litter picking elements, we obviously our resources are stretched at the moment, so we have to focus our street cleansing resources at critical points for footfall. If and when we get to the stage where we can move out to the more rural areas, it's certainly something that we will be looking at, Councillor Andrews. In relation to the toilets, that is something that we are actively looking at. Councillor Riley has emailed me on it. I hope to be in a position this week to confirm to councillors what the next phase of the batch of toilets that will open and when they will open. I'm hopeful that will be sooner rather than later, and sooner than what we advised last week. I'm also hopeful that will be a slightly higher number than what we advised last week, and taking on board all of the comments that councillors have gave. So we are working on that. Officers are working hard on that, I can assure you. And as soon as we can advise, we will let you know. In relation to dumping, again, it is a scourge, and I agree with a lot with what Councillor Malone has said. It is a challenge for all of us, but councillors know that we can't be everywhere in every place all of the time. We do not currently have the technology from a CCTV perspective, but it is one of the areas that we're looking at as part of an enforcement improvement plan, to try and make our services more effective to deter and catch people who are undertaking this type of illegal activity. These people are breaking the law at the end of the day, and council officers with our limited resources, as I say, cannot be everywhere all the time, but we will certainly do everything that we can within our power and within our legal right.
Okay, thanks, Roland. There's a few more questions coming in. We'll take Councillor McKevitt first for question for Roland as well, please.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Roland, first of all, I think that all the staff under yourself have to be praised for the way that they've kept the services going in the crucial times. It's a credit to you and the team on that. Just during the COVID crisis, I'm sure you'll recognise the opportunity that community groups took in doing litter picks and tidying up their own roads themselves, and the council were very obliging in collecting their bags, etc. And I think everybody got lifted spirits in the times that we're in, getting together with social distancing, etc., and tidying up their own areas. I understand, Ronan, when I got in contact with yourself, that there was a change of policy on the direction that neighbourhood services officers were taken when community groups or councillors contact them with the like of looking for bags, etc., to give the people looking to do litter picks an opportunity to avail of the bags that council provide. Is there any change coming in that policy? Because I do see still a lot of litter picks happening, and they still seem to be using council bags. I couldn't get one of them, but there's other councillors there seem to have plenty of them. Is there any change in that happening? So community groups, I'm talking about Crotlee in particular, will be able to avail of litter picks just around our rural roads in particular?
Can I just come in on that? The questions here should really relate to the business plan that's being discussed at the minute. So, I don't know, Roland, do you want to answer Karen's question there, or do you want to leave it?
Roland, you're on mute.
Roland, you're on mute.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I suppose, I mean, I know that our team and the sustainability team have been working on a new process, just particularly on the litter picking, so I can certainly look into the details and come back and ask someone to come back to Councillor McEvitt tomorrow on that.
Brilliant. Thanks, Roland. Councillor Murphy, have you a question there for Roland?
Okay, no, I concur with what my colleagues have said with regards to the frontline staff, sterling job, but my question was exactly as Karen said, so I'll just wait until further notice. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Catherine had a question there, but she's going to leave it as the same as Karen's. William, you have a point of information up there. Do you want to ask any questions there, Roland? Or?
No.
Have you enough?
To say that I think the toilets in the Rwanda area should be open.
Okay, thank you. Okay, before we move on to item 6, can I get a proposer and seconder there for item 5?
I bet. I propose. Chair.
I'll have a second, Guy Stokes, Chair.
Sorry, can you all just use the instant messenger for proposing and seconding instead of saying it out loud? Catherine Owen was in there first for proposing.
Chair, it's Marie. Sorry, just if you go back to item 5 on the instant message, and you'll see that was proposed by Gary Stokes and seconded by Councillor Andrews.
Good, that hasn't come up on mine. Okay, thank you.
No problem. You would just need to ask them to do that for the record.
Yeah,
verbally.
Indeed, yeah. So, Councillor Stokes, can you propose there for the audio, please?
I propose, Chair. Thank you.
And Terry, can you second it, please?
Julie seconded.
Thank you. Okay, move on to item 6, which is a notice of motion received from Councillor Brown. I'd like to invite Councillor Brown in to talk on this motion, if he'd like to, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Thank you for letting me speak on the item, despite not being on the committee, and all the very best of luck with your year as Chair of the committee as well. So the motion is as follows. So recognising the extent of dog fouling across the district and the need to consider innovative solutions to tackle this problem, the Council will investigate the viability of using DNA testing to identify offenders and aid enforcement officers in issuing fines, alongside an enhanced public awareness campaign of the dangers of dog fouling similar to that of other councils. Dog fouling is an issue that impacts constituents right across the entire Newry, Morton and Down district. It is more than just an antisocial nuisance. There are significant health risks to both dogs and humans from discarded dog waste. There is a high risk of toxochiasis, hope I'm saying that right, probably not, which is a very serious health issue, especially for young people. It can cause seizures, severe stomach upset, sore throats, respiratory problems, and in extreme cases, blindness. This is not something you should have to worry about when you take your child out to the play park or out for a walk. In particular, in the last few months, as more people have been at home and exercising outside, as councillors, we have all seen a huge increase in dog fouling incidents right across the district. Unfortunately, despite numerous pleas by councillors through meetings with officers and previous motions on this issue going back a number of years since I've been in council, we still at the moment, as far as I'm aware, only have one full-time enforcement officer covering the entire district, and on average hand out as little as one or in fact zero fines at all for dog fouling every month.
If you compare that to Ards and North Down, for example, it actually averages as many as 30 a month and usually sometimes more. And if you do that comparison, you can clearly see where the problem lies. So therefore, to aid council in their enforcement of this issue, DNA testing could potentially be a lot more cost effective in the long term than hiring additional enforcement officers. It is clear that one or the other needs to be done, and we cannot continue with such low enforcement rates. This DNA testing should be done on top of additional bins and hotspot areas, educational and engaging signage, and general public awareness campaigns around the risks of dog fouling as well. And there are some excellent examples of this in other council areas around like large and colourful and eye-catching signage, which could be easily ruled out here as well. In terms of the cost of this initiative, I've started looking into this, and no doubt officers will find the same information if they go away and then draw up their report as they are proposing. To give one example, there's a company called BioPet Labs, which operates globally and services a lot of local authorities and communities in the US. The cost of getting a sample tested is about £50, which could be easily recouped through income from fines. The perhaps more challenging part of this scheme would be ensuring that dogs are registered. I'm sure Roland may want to mention that. For new registrations of dogs, that's fairly easy. They can be added to a DNA register via a cheek swab at the same time as the normal chipping procedure where people have to get their dogs registered. There would need to be some sort of initiative to re-register other pets, and it is anticipated that it would take some time to build up a register that was pretty complete across the whole district. But at the very least, I think that people knowing that we are looking into DNA testing and that it is an option may actually in itself help to deter people from fouling as well. So I hope everyone will support the recommendation of the officers to go away and look at this further, and thank you for hearing me out.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Brown. Roland, would you like to report back on that one, please?
Well, I think we have a couple of questions in there, Chair.
William, have you a question there first, please?
Yes, Una, thank you very much. I'm not on this committee. That's one of the reasons I come on tonight in relation to this. This is an ongoing problem we've had in the district, even from the old Down Council, and I'm sure the old Muriel Morn Council and that, you know. It's been talked about, you know, year in, year out. I think we need to take definitive action here in relation to this, and although not on the committee, I would support the motion. There's a couple of issues that was brought up before, and I think they should also be looked into again. One was signage. You know, the old Craigavon Council had developed signage that they put up in hotspot areas. Whenever that signage was put up, at minimal cost, I have to say, that dog fouling dropped by 97-98%. You know, I think that should maybe be looked into as well. You know, if you've got a hotspot area, you put it up, the turnaround, basically say that there's CCTV cameras in the area. That worked in Craigavon. There was another initiative that the old council through Canis O'Rourke was going to roll out, only council didn't vote for it then. I know it's the responsibility of dog owners to lift the poo and stuff whenever the dogs do it. So they do. And that, but once they do it and they don't lift it, it's our responsibility then to keep the streets clean. North Down had a machine. It was actually a quad bike with a Hoover in the back of it. And what they done is they had a couple of them purchased. And they went round, they had staff gone round. It meant that it kept the streets clean. That's not a license for dog owners just to let their dogs dirty on the streets. But at least they were keeping top of it. Because when some of the dogs do it at the minute, it's left there for weeks because maybe that particular area isn't scheduled to be cleaned by a road sweeper or whatever for a number of weeks. So maybe that could be looked at again. And just one final point in relation to the number of fines. I think it's unfair that we're sort of maybe targeting our officer there, that we have only one. Maybe if you look at Ards and North Down, you'll find that they have maybe up to 10, a dozen wardens in that. That is the difference with Ards and North Down Council. They have more staff on the ground to deal with this. Yes, why we say we have only one, I wouldn't put heap the blame in that one. He has a large area to cover, and I think that should maybe be looked at too. But I think it's unfair to turn around and say that we're only issuing X number of fines compared to Ards and North Down. You do that pro rata, whatever, in that there. You make turn around fine per head of staff in Ards. It's not too many. So that's what I have to say. But I would support the motion as someone that's not even on the committee.
Okay, thank you, William. Sorry, before we move on to the next question, can I just ask councillors please to refrain from putting up just points of information on the instant messaging? It's just for questions, proposing or seconding. Thank you. The next question there was from David Taylor.
Yep, thank you, Chair. Yeah, certainly, you know, we would be supportive of the proposal in terms of the party point of view on it. The issue of dog fouling has been discussed on numerous occasions within the chamber over the years that I've been on council, and whilst we always try to endeavour to deal with the issue, it always seems to come around again at some point or other. I suppose the question that I would like to ask is, in terms of this type of, you know, proposal, is there any evidence, you know, from councils, whether it be Northern Ireland or elsewhere, about how successful it is, particularly in terms of, you know, obviously value for money, what feasibility maybe work has been carried out in terms of this? But, you know, I think it's a good idea, but I suppose just making sure that it's gonna, if it is, you know, rolled out, that it's, you know, obviously providing, you know, cost for money, you know, effective cost for money that we'd be spending on it when it was introduced. It's just to see if there is any evidence of that, you know, how successful it is in other areas where it has been implemented.
Yeah, thanks, David. Roland, do you want to come back on any of them, or do you want to take all the questions at once?
Roland, you're on mute.
Sorry, boss. Yes, I'm happy to take the questions.
Take the questions. Okay, the next one there is from Terry Andrews.
First of all, thank you very much, Chair. Just on a few points, I do welcome the motion, and as I did mention in the notes, this was brought up by Councillor Harold McKee, who was in holidays in 2015, and he noticed that, you know, with DNA and all, when he was on his travels, you know, and you know, and I think it is a very good point, you know, that it's to be raised, but. Well, what there should be in relation to DNA, it should be up to the owners. Say, for example, if I went to buy a pedigree, if I went to buy a Labrador, the onus should be on the person selling the dogs to make sure that their DNA, that they're registered and that the details are sent into the licensing. You know, and also in relation to the dog fouling problem, we also need to look at our bylaws and council. Whereas, say, for example, if I was out on Saturday night and I got caught short, and I was caught, I would be in the local papers for, you know, taking short on the street. Whereas you have an irresponsible dog owner who can walk along with their dog. The dog does what it's want, and if caught, they get a penalty, but they're not named. And maybe looking at the bylaws and council, they should be amended to take on board that if your dog offends and if you don't take the relevant action, that you should feel the full fervor of the law. In relation, I must commend our officer who in our district has a big area to cover. He works flat out. Anything you ask of him, it's done to a T. And in relation to education, a lot of his time and effort has been putting posters up where possible, highlighting pick up the poo before they do, and outlining the penalties. And he does such a sterling job in a big area, and he deserves a pat on the back. But, you know, I do think realistically it is a good motion, as I've said, but I think there are in areas to the DNA testing, how much is it going to cost the council, and should that cost be shared by the people who breed dogs and sell them? Because I think it would encourage a lot more responsibility also. But as I say, this motion has been raised in several guises and forms over the years. It's in line of succession to others. It's shown our determination to deal with the problem in a good way. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Terry. Okay, Willie, have you a question there for Roland?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just to maybe say, during the past month, we had a major issue of human fouling in beauty spots, so maybe we should get DNA and signage for the humans to pick up their waste after them. Just on the motion itself, dog fouling is an insult to the entire community, and I just want to put it in the record, the majority of dog owners are very responsible. You've just got a few rogue owners who don't give a damn about the community, don't give a damn about what messages we put out there. They will continue to allow their dogs to foul unless we can get people on the ground to make it stop. That's the only way you're going to do it. DNA, it will be costly, collecting the database. When dogs are chipped, certainly it could be carried out then. But how would you get the DNA collected, the database collected of the dogs who are already chipped and are in society? And I suppose on another point, the people who are allowing their dogs to foul, a majority of them, I would say, are not even licensed, and they just let the dogs run wild. I don't think it'll be a panacea, folks. I think we had a workshop a long while back now where we discussed all these issues. We discussed many issues. Tidy NA was there as well, and we had a real deep conversation about how we could solve this. It's multifaceted. It's not just as simple as grabbing a couple of headlines and that. There has to be real community effort in regards to this. Because I've heard on many occasions that people will come to you and say, yes, I know what dogs are fouling, but I don't want to bring attention to my property or whatever. I've had to go to court and stuff. So we need to, we just discussed about body cameras for enforcement officers was another issue. The point that Councillor Walker talks about the quad with the clean-up gear was discussed at that workshop. And indeed, the DNA stuff was discussed at it. And indeed, Henry Riley had a proposal to arm. He says give the enforcement officers rifles might solve the problem as well. So I think there was a lot of discussions, I'm saying. This keeps coming up. We have a strategy with the first phase out, with the second part of the phase to roll out. There's no doubt we need more officers, but we're going through prudent times again, guys. We are, in a way, we're losing a lot of money at present, and when you go to the rates process, it's going to be difficult to argue for more staff. So I think we have to get the buy-in of the community in regards to looking at ambassadors for our parks and that, the people sign up, even to wear high-vis, even to be a deterrent. I think we should look at them cost-effective solutions, because there's responsible dog owners who walk in the parks who would maybe help us along that journey. So looking at ambassadors for our parks might be a solution that we should do. In regards to the motion and bringing it forward, we'll look at the costs and see what the costs are, see what other councils do, see if it is effective. I know we talk about Ards and North Down, having a great success rate. That was privatisation. They brought people in. I don't think we should go down the road of privatisation. I think we should have our own staff who have a buy-in in their communities. If we can get some extra staff, I think it'll go an extra way when they build up a relationship with the community. But moving forward, as I said, Ards and North Down, a lot of the fines were given out. How many convictions came out of that? How many when they went to court? How many were convicted? Maybe, Roland, you can maybe answer that. Thanks.
Okay, Roland, do you want to come in those first four questions there, and we'll take the rest after?
Thank you, Chair. A number of questions there, a lot of them wider than what is in the paper in front of us, albeit it's very connected. I think if I could just come and really highlight what Councillor Clark had said there, we have a phased approach to this, and there's been a number of reports through to committee on how the council is tackling this problem. The problem is not exclusive to Newry, Mourne and Down, and it's across all council areas. I speak to many colleagues, or all colleagues from the other 10 councils, and we all have the same challenge here. It's not unique. So we are working through an enforcement improvement plan. As Councillor Clark referred to, we had a workshop on it. We agreed a plan, and we've a roadmap forward. I think we need to work through that. Now, we can certainly dust that down and show you where we've got to and bring the plan back to committee so members know exactly what is done, albeit COVID has delayed things, as you could imagine. A few things just to pick up. We do have a public awareness campaign. It's been referred to by some of the councillors. Pick up a poo before they do. And there has been additional signage put out. We know that we need to look at that. In terms of our enforcement officers, we have more than one enforcement officers who all do good jobs, I have to say. We have three enforcement officers currently. We're also recruiting for an additional enforcement officer, and we are also currently recruiting for three additional seasonal enforcement officers, and that's not including the dog wardens, which also operate within the district. So we do have resources who do a good job to try and combat this issue. So a lot of the points that were raised in terms of bylaws, in terms of signage, in terms of body cameras and people on the ground and how we're going to try and tackle this problem are detailed within the Enforcement Improvement Plan, so which the committee last year would have considered following the workshop. So I'm hopeful that if members did see that, they would understand that there is a plan in place to try and tackle this scourge, which has been across many, many council areas, not just exclusive to our own.
Okay, thank you, Roland. We had a few other questions there. I think Councillor O'Reilly wanted to come in on that.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yeah, just I agree absolutely with the motion, but I think you'll find that the people who will pay for getting their dog microchipped and getting it properly licensed with the council are responsible dog owners, and they do, in a large percentage of the time, pick up after them. It sees unlicensed dogs and dogs that just are put out in the morning, roam all day, and then come back in at night in many instances. And it would also have to be a Northern Ireland-wide database, because in Kilkeel, Annalone, Cranfield, half of Mid-Ulster comes down here in the summer months. And ABC Council in particular reported down Craig Avenue, those areas. And they all bring their dogs down here. So it would need to be a Northern Ireland-wide database. On one point, the Nurienmore Legacy Council, and I'll be very brief, Madam Chair, the Nurienmore Legacy Council did bring in a private company, a private security company, who targeted areas where there was a high incidence of dog fouling, and also target areas where illegal dumping was going on. Within 2 weeks, it stopped. And it stopped for, I would say, 6 months, even though they only done it over a month period. But it was really, really effective. Now, they were a private company and they got paid private rates, but they brought about an end to that in the Mourns area. And in fact, many of you will know who owned the company. It was a former Sinn Féin councillor, and whenever I heard he was doing surveillance down in Kilkeel, it scared a lot of people. But whenever he left, they were looking him back. That's how good he was. So it can be done. It just takes the dedication and the resources dedicated to it. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor O'Reilly. Can we keep on track with the motion in question, please, folks? Keep the questions related to the motion. Thank you. Harold, you wanted to come in there with a question?
Yeah, and just thanks, Terry, it reminded me of 2015. I did raise that. Just on, I think, maybe on more practical points, maybe a bit similar to what Willie Clark had said there. You know, and maybe Henry too, unless there is a DNA database for every dog in Northern Ireland, it's going to be very difficult if there's a dog poo anywhere there, if not a dog in sight. You're going to be reliant on the public to point the finger and pass a message on to say that was their dog that done that, and who's going to do that? Pretty slim. So, and for every poo DNA, if there was a pool of database of every dog, along with, it would have to become compulsory chipping along with DNA, I really think, to make it work. I've certainly, the proposal is a good enough idea. The other thing is, I did raise several times about why not fine people if an officer goes up to them and they haven't got a means. They're asked, have they got a means of collecting dog waste? And if they say they haven't, well, then they should be fined because they left home without any intention of lifting dog poo. But then I was told it has to be legislated through Stormont. So I'll be asking again, could our council do this, or would it have to be legislated through Stormont? So I think that's, to me, those are the points that would need to be ironed out, along with many others, I'm sure. Thanks, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Harold. We'll just take the final two questions on this item. Councillor Hanlon, followed by Councillor Owen. So Councillor Hanlon first there, please.
Hello.
Hello, Una.
Hi. Thanks for letting me speak. I'm not actually part of this committee, as you'll know. I actually seconded Paddy's motion originally when it was brought into council. So I just wanted to not rehearse what everybody said. I'm listening to all the comments coming through. It is obviously a massive issue, and as Roland says, not just within Newry, Morning Down. One thing I would say, sometimes we don't need to reinvent the wheel either. My notice just going out, probably walking more than I do normally in the area and stuff, is we maybe need to get more posters and stuff out as well. The DNA, obviously, and an increased awareness campaign, absolutely. But sometimes, you know, it's just the simple things that will make a difference. Like one of the villages within my DEA, they had handmade signs up. So, you know, I was able to source very easily with just a quick phone call to get them additional signage. And I just think it makes it look more professional. It reminds people that they will be fined up to £80. And, you know, I can't, there's no quantitative way of saying whether that's going to make a difference or not. But I just think, you know, maybe we could do a bit of work even in our own areas and have a look and see, do we need more signs? Or I know somebody unearthed and literally unearthed the dog bin that was overgrown with weeds and was able to actually discover that there was a bin there already. And I'm sure we all do that as councillors, just ask for more bins. But the bins are maybe there, you know. So people have been walking by and dropping their dog dirt or not picking it up or whatever, whenever there was actually a bin at the outside of their estate. So as I say, it's just keeping things simple sometimes as well. But happy to second Paddy's original proposal. Thanks, Una.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Catherine, finally, we'll take you on this.
Thanks very much, Chairwoman. I would just like to say, in my very short time as a councillor, it is the one thing that I would probably get most complaints about. So you, very well versed councillors, I'm sure your heads are well used to this. I definitely feel that something needs to be done. People know that the enforcement officer is never going to be there at that particular time to be able to get evidence. Other people, quite right, as Willie said, don't want to then put their name forward to then have it possibly pulled through the courts if necessary. So, you know, we're in a terrible situation where, you know, something drastic needs to be done. Now, even from the point of view of saying, of putting it out there, this is the approach that the council is going to take, you're very quickly going to find people going, they're not going to understand the process. They're not going to understand that it's going to take them, take us months or years to actually get a database sorted out. They're going to think, oh, right, straight away, you know, they're going to be onto something, or they're going to have some science to be able to figure it out. So, so personally, I'm really happy to support Patrick's motion. What I would suggest is that maybe it's something that's compulsory done with the licensing, or maybe it's an opportunity to write to Stormont and see if there's a broader, you know, thing that they're actually going to be doing on this, you know, across the whole of Northern Ireland. And is that something that we could look at? And because I know, certainly speaking to our own enforcement officer, Neil, who looks after up here, he has basically turned around and said it's the only way that's going to stop it. Also, something else to look at, and I think it's, I'm not sure what council it is, but they actually have spray paint, like a stencil thing that they actually put down on the pavements and on hot spots. So again, maybe Roland, that's something to look at. So I know that's kind of three points raised in one. And thanks very much for your patience, everybody. Thank you.
Okay, Roland, do you want to come in on those items?
Yeah. Listen, again, all of very valid suggestions, Chair. And all we have discussed at the workshop, and a lot of them do feature within the enforcement improvement plan. So I think it's an opportune time to bring maybe an update at one of the next meetings back to the committee and show where we are with that and what progress we have made and what we still need to keep moving forward with. Just in relation to the evidence, a lot of people have said, yeah, that this is a good idea, but we need the evidence to support it. That's the key element of the paper that I put in front of you to support or in response to the motion. Let officers go and research this and bring the costs, the benefits, and what other opportunities there are out there for the committee and the council to consider going forward. Just one final point in relation to Councillor McKee's question. He has raised a number of times in relation to being able to find someone. And I think Johnny's done a bit of work in this, Chair. So if you don't mind, I'll just maybe ask Johnny if he can come in just to advise on the outworkings of that.
Yes, Chair. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Just to follow up on what Roland had said there, we previously sought advice from the Council's legal officer about the provisions of the Act in relation to dog fouling and dog control, and it was confirmed with us that the Act does not provide for the compulsory carrying of dog waste bags, nor any subsequent enforcement. So at this point in time, we have limited, if any, powers to actually enforce that. And I would suggest, Chair, that would require legislative change at the Northern Ireland Assembly.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. I think we had a proposer and a seconder at the start of this item. So, Catherine Owen, did you propose? Would you like to say that out loud?
Sorry, Chairwoman. Yeah, I am more than happy to propose it. Thank you very much for bringing this motion forward, Councillor Brown.
Thank you. And Councillor Stokes, did you come in to second there, please?
Happy to second the officer's recommendation, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item 7, which is a notice of motion received from Councillor McMurray. So, Councillor McMurray, would you like to come in and read out your motion there, please? Oh, sorry, we'll just hold off there on item 7. I see Councillor Clark has come in with an amendment. Is that for item 6 or item 7, Councillor Clark?
That's the one about the dog fouling motion, yeah.
Okay,
it's just in light of what Johnny has said. Harold's mentioned about, you know, it would be good to have the bylaws changed that people should be made to carry bags, is something I've raised as well. So I would like to make an amendment to the proposal that we write to the Executive of the Assembly, asking for them legislative changes to be made.
Okay, sir, would you be able to add in that amendment, and we'll get a proposer and seconder for the amendment, if possible?
Councillor Clark has proposed the amendment, and Councillor McKee has seconded it.
Okay, thank you.
Second.
Thanks, Harold. Okay, so sorry, moving on.
You'd have to just vote on the amendment, or ask as everybody.
Sorry. So ask everyone to vote on the amendment.
If everyone's content with the amendment.
Is everyone in agreement with the amendment proposed there by Councillor Clark?
Yep.
Okay, I think most people are in.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item 7, which again is the notice of motion received by Councillor McMurray. So, Councillor McMurray, would you like to come in on your motion there, please?
Yes, thank you, Chair. And again, just want to thank the officers and all the frontline staff for all they've done so far. I'll read the motion as it reads, that this council practically enable changing places toilets within our council area by committing to include changing places toilets in all new council buildings and leisure facilities, to review and resource retrofitting of changing places toilets to other public buildings over the next 10 years, and require all applications for new buildings open to the public to install changing places toilets instead of basic disability toilets, to resource and fund for local business charities to help retrofit install a changing places toilet. Chair, I suppose, you know, just an opening remarks to this, this is all, originated pre-COVID times, and therefore I know that this may change what constraints of what is possible in regards to this motion. But in essence, what this motion is about is that Nearly Moran Down Council can provide full access to the public conveniences inside its buildings for all its citizens. Changing a person who has a stroke or a teenager with a disability on the floor of a toilet is degrading, unhygienic, and something none of us would do to our child, parent, or grandparent. But like me, I'm sure you know, are aware of people with who have to undergo this due to the physical constraints they have. And, you know, ultimately this puts off people from visiting an area and, prevents them from going and visiting areas. So I really believe that Nearly More and Down can make a difference in this, and we can decide to proactively provide change in places toilets so that all our buildings are accessible for citizens and enhance the reputation for those visiting. Just quick, for those maybe that don't know, the difference between a change in places toilet and a disability toilet is that it's suitable for adults and older children who need help with toileting. By including a safe adult-sized table, a house and a little more space to give those who need it the ability to change and toilet with dignity. I understand, and again reading the report, that some previous work has been done and progressive decisions have already been made to be inclusive through the council. And given the current conditions, I understand the practical constraints we're going to face as a council. So also regarding the physical spatial requirements of retrofitting, may also curtail the amount of potential places for retrofitting, but would it be possible even to explore what sites would be suitable for an upgrade should the funds become a future available? And, you know, I, again, as the report by Officer Mr. Rowland, Mr. Maher, points out that, you know, we can speak as a voice to Stormont as well in this regards. To make the changes to building control, and hopefully they will catch up. That's really my surmise in that. Thank you for the council's officers in work so far in regards to this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. Okay, we've got a couple of questions there, Roland. Willie, would you like to come in there first?
Thanks, Chair. Initially, I'd just like to, thank Councillor McMurray for bringing it forward. The motion, this is what we wanted to see within our toilet strategy. We had a refurbishment review right across the district. We've had a number of studies carried out, and quite clearly changing places, facilities had to be installed within all new leisure buildings, all new large public buildings. But also, it would be good to see any new builds to accommodate changing places as well. So that was in our strategy moving forward. I just want to, maybe ask Roland, does that cover what the motion is trying to achieve? I think it's a worthy motion. There's been a lot of work carried out in regards to this, and I agree, people with disabilities, people with older children with disabilities, it is not appropriate that they have to be changed on the floor. And I think the whole committee last year recognised that. So, Ron, just will this strategy cover what the motion is intended?
Okay, thanks, William. Roland, will we just take a couple of questions and you can answer them all at once? Or?
As long as it's not as many as the last motion, Chair.
No. Councillor Taylor, do you want to ask a question there?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Again, listen, like Wally, I'm very supportive of this. I see a clear need for it within our facilities, across the district. I suppose it was similar to Willie to see what if there has been work carried out, following on from that strategy that was mentioned, where we are with that, and has that, assisted in terms of actually bringing something like this forward fairly quickly. I know that we obviously have the challenges faced by COVID and the restrictions that may place on things, but really just similar to Willie, just to see where we are with that work, going forward.
Okay, Roland, you want to answer those couple first, and then we'll take Kerry's question after.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I suppose just to come back to Councillor Clark, is this covered within the strategy? Well, the strategy focuses on public conveniences. So that would be our own public conveniences that would be out in the ether as opposed to our own buildings. In part it deals with it. What I would say though is we do have a number of changing places within our new builds, I'm thinking particularly Newry Leisure Centre, which I was involved with, Down Leisure Centre, the Downshire itself, our civic building, and I'm sure when we get a new civic centre in Newry, we'll also cater for that. So in part, it does cover that. Just in relation to Councillor Taylor's question, we are working through the draft strategy. We actually took it through, I think it was the February meeting, with a view that it would go to public consultation, and then we know what happened with the COVID pandemic, so that it's been slightly delayed, but it's still very much officers' intention that we will undertake the public consultation in that this year. It may be maybe slightly after the summer, but we are, as a council, we've changed how we consult now, and we are now doing a number of online consultations, so it's probably something that we'll be looking towards maybe sort of August, September time.
Okay, thank you, Roland. Councillor Andrews, had you one final question there on the setting?
Yes, question, Chairperson, thank you very much. And like all our previous speakers, I welcome the motion and the intentions with it. You know, and I do concur with the previous speakers, but, you know, where possible in the draft toilet strategy or whatever, could there be a possibility of changing places being considered, especially in large built-up areas where there are no changing places that are already supplied? And all in relation, I know we're in very difficult times, especially with coronavirus, and then with financial implications of coming out through the other side where for monies is going to be tight, is anywhere that we can get additional support to help roll out these facilities? But again, it's a very worthwhile motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Okay, Roland, do you want to come in on that?
Well, Chair, I think I've covered maybe Councillor Andrews' question just earlier, but yes, we, as part of the public convenience strategy, changing places is a section within it, and the need to consider that. So that is there. To answer on funding, I couldn't give an answer tonight, but certainly council officers will be looking at all avenues where we possibly could for our public conveniences as we move forward. We have some money in the capital programme, which I know is under review, but if there's opportunities for external funding, then certainly we would welcome it as well. So if I could maybe just summarise this, our recommendation is just to proceed with the actions detailed in section 2.2, Chair, as a way of moving forward this motion, and we'd be seeking a proposal and a seconder for that.
Thank you, Roland. I see we have a proposal there in Gary Stokes. Could you just say it out loud there, Gary, for the audio, please?
Yeah, Chair, I hope you can hear me. Andrew, Councillor McMurray, for the motion. And obviously, at the end of the day, it'll have to go into the rates like everything else. It's going to, when we see what we've left in the bank after this, there'll be a lot of reprioritising it. So, unfortunately, it'll have to go in and take its place in the queue like everything else. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, are you happy to propose, Gary, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Willie Clark, were you happy to second that?
Yeah, sure, I'm happy to second the proposal.
Thank you. Okay, we move on to item 8, which is the fleet transition strategy update. And we're going to get an update on that by Johnny McBride. If you'd like to come in on that, Johnny.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Members, the purpose of this item is to provide the committee with a fleet procurement update, but also to recommend a way forward to begin to transition the fleet to alternative greener fuels. I suppose there's a couple of issues, Chair, that I'd like to pick up with the committee. In the first instance, the development of such a strategy is a key enabler for informing future fleet procurement and, I suppose, ultimately reducing the current carbon footprint of primarily a fossil fuel fleet. Members will be aware that will be an important part of the Council's response to the climate emergency, and I note that it was a key item for discussion at the Climate Change Symposium in March in Killeavy. Authority is now sought from the committee to appoint suitable technical expertise to complete this work, and we are estimating costs in the region of £30,000 to £40,000, but those can be met from within payroll savings arising from a vacant post. The second issue is, Chair, that really, in the absence of this strategy, there are increasingly significant risks being presented by an ageing fleet. These risks are primarily financial in nature and attached to increasing labour costs, maintenance costs and replacement hire costs. But there's also customer service implications in that we have vehicle breakdowns and we can't complete routes in terms of fulfilling a curbside collection service. and they are all a direct result of increasing vehicle unreliability. So, Chair, mindful of the previous position of the Council concerning the importance of moving to a green fleet, I'm also seeking authority or approval this evening that the committee agrees to the prioritisation of specific vehicle registration numbers on a case-by-case basis, and to run that in parallel until the fleet transition exercise has been completed. And, Chair, you might note there's an item later on the committee presenting a number of business cases to replace 6 refuse collection vehicles, and that's on the assumption that members would approve this. So, Chair, happy to take any comments or questions, but I suppose the 2 main decisions are, in the first instance, to approve the appointment of suitable technical expertise to assist us in developing that transition strategy to a greener fleet, but also to allow us to prioritise specific vehicle registration numbers on a case-by-case basis for replacement until that strategy exercise has been completed. Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. We have a couple of questions in there. With Terry Andrews has a question there first, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. And first of all, Johnny, I'd like to thank you very much for a very comprehensive report. And since I got elected onto the Council back in 2011, I've always been a firm believer and a supporter in a modern, up-to-date fleet of vehicles that will be fit for purpose to deliver the services which is expected of them, instead of having clapped out, you know, lorries breaking down and causing headaches and costing a lot of money to the ratepayer. I'm very supportive of the paper. I know that others have indicated to propose and seconded. And just in releasing, maybe I could ask you to maybe contact our counterparts in Cork City Council, who recently launched their fleet of electric vehicles, you know, likes of Rel vans and Persos and everything. You know, they've gone electric. They've replaced a lot of their fleet with electric vehicles. So maybe touch base with our counterparts in Cork, and they probably might be able to give you a bit more of an insight into the rationale and thinking. But I do agree, it is very important at this stage that we do look down the lane. As I say, in the next 10 or 15 years, a lot of fossil fuel vehicles that will be replaced by electric. In fact, there's an increased number of electric vehicles on the road, so it is important, and what you're doing at this moment is an important job. So I'm in support of your efforts. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Johnny, do you want to come back on that, or do you want to take a couple of questions first?
I'm happy, Chair, to take all the questions at once, if that's okay.
That's okay. Councillor Clark, have you a question there, please?
Yeah. Yes, Chair. I think the paper sets out, you know, that there's a balance between delivering frontline, you know, like refuse collection and reducing fossil fuels in our fleets. We spoke at great detail at the last meeting, and the last time this subject was discussed, that all the political parties wants to see the Council moving in that direction. All the directors are in the same opinion, that we want to move in that direction. But there is complications in regards to the refuse vehicles and some of the terrain that our vehicles have to go over. So we will need a bit of technical assistance to help us, to assist us in that. But I'm happy that, you know, the proposal allows us to begin the process while keeping frontline services not falling. So a green fleet for the future is a priority. There's no doubt about that, because we need to lead the way for other statutory partners. And at least if we can see by this process that we had a climate change emergency, and we're committed to tackling or mitigate the impacts of climate change, and this is one of the ways we can do it. But we can't reduce the services overnight either. So I'm happy to propose, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Riley, were you looking to come in on that?
Yes. I would like to ask Roland, has he considered, I didn't see it anywhere in the report, the possibility of contract hire leasing vehicles? It seems to be a way a lot of councils across the UK and Ireland are going. So I'm surprised that we haven't given that some consideration. And those companies, they do have considerable expertise on what's being proposed here in terms of electrified vehicles. So could you advise, have you looked at that and didn't consider it feasible, or do you just want to go down the purchase route as normal, the Council normally does? Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, Councillor Riley, that was the question for Roland, was it? Yeah.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Roland, would you like to come in at the end and answer that for Councillor Riley after I finish these questions for Johnny?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Councillor McKee, had you a question?
Yeah, it's just on the whoever's going to be the investigation of all us here. As regards greener fuel, I dare say it's a case of looking at all types of greener fuel, not necessarily electric. I think hydrogen is, we see this in some new buses now, is making its way in. And just whenever the contractor produces his evidence as which is the best vehicle to use, I'm pretty sure he will also do his homework on the cost of these vehicles. Because from what I gather, if you go hydrogen refuse collection vehicle, a vehicle that may cost £150,000 to £200,000 now, the conventional diesel models, and you go to hydrogen, you're talking £500,000 to £700,000 for the same vehicle. So I think it's very important that those figures comes out along with whatever evidence is produced. Thank you. That's for Johnny. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McKee. Okay, Johnny, do you want to come in on those questions there, please?
Yes, Chair. I'll deal with Councillor Andrews' query first. Yes, happy to contact Cork County Council. And indeed, members will recall that Killeavy, we had Dundee City Council. We seem to be real forebears in this, so the contact will be made with them. In terms then of the question, Councillor McKee, before I hand over to Roland, yeah, I would fully expect this technical piece of work to consider a range of issues, including, for example, the types of vehicles that would need to be transitioned, the types of fuel, which you allude to, a timetable for doing that, the ownership model, potential capital costs, ongoing revenue costs, the infrastructure costs that we may be required to set up, and also future maintenance of these vehicles. So I would expect it to be a very detailed technical piece of work which allows the Council then to make a properly informed decision about transitioning to alternative fuels.
Yeah, thank you, Johnny. Roland, would you like to answer Henry's question?
Yeah, no, and it's very closely related to Johnny's response. We do consider all operating models and all ownership models when we develop business cases for vehicles. And indeed, we currently employ and manage and maintain all of our own fleet as well. And when you contract hire, some of those services are limited to what you can deliver in-house and what you need the contractor to deliver. So our current operating model is that we do own it. That being said, as we move forward, and Johnny has highlighted, we will ask that the specialist who looks at this for us does consider what the potential models are.
Okay, thank you, Roland. We had Councillor Clark propose the motion or the paper. So, Councillor Clark, can you just say that out loud for the audio, please?
Yeah, Chair, I'm happy to propose the recommendation from the officers.
And Charlie Casey, you come in to second that. Are you happy to second it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Good, Chair. Councillor McKee has asked a question there.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Harold. Have you a question there again?
I had a question that maybe I proposed and second. Just in the construction of the vehicles, one of the things was mentioned at Regen, Johnny, was the importance of a vehicle design that does not collect water or has some means of collecting the water and not allowing it to go into the recycling processes, which is creating problems. So maybe as part of your time at refuge vehicles, some means of containing that water and then disposing of it before it's tipped in the recycling centre. I know it's a technical thing, but maybe it's something that should be looked at in the pricing of the vehicles. Thank you.
Thank you, Harold.
Sir, would you like me to come back on that?
Yeah, Johnny, go on ahead.
Yeah, Chair, Councillor McKee's right. That was more about the tipping of the waste, and we're aware of a number of issues have been raised by our waste process in relation to that. For me, that's a separate issue to the actual future fueling of the vehicles, and it is, of course, something we'd previously committed to that contractor to looking and investigating, and we're currently doing that.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. So, happy enough, we all move on to item 9. Item 9 is the Household Recycling Centre's reopening plan update. Johnny, you're going to talk us through that again, are you?
I am, Chair. Thank you. So members, the purpose of this is to provide the committee with an update on the reopening of the Council's household recycling centres, which has been undertaken in accordance with the relaxation of social distancing regulations and the availability of staffing resources. Members will be aware that 8 of the 10 household recycling centres reopened on the 18th of May with restricted opening hours and restrictions on acceptable waste streams. Bar an initial surge by the public on the first couple of days, this has proved to be very successful and is in accordance with the original plan presented to members, which was set out in 3 distinct phases. What I can also advise the committee is that last week we increased the number and type of waste materials that can now be deposited, and I'm glad to confirm that we're now in a position to move to phase 2 of that recovery plan. And what that means from next Monday, the 22nd of June, is that we'll increase the number of days across the 7 sites to a 5-day operation. So that will be Monday to Friday, with Cross Maglen still continuing to open on a Tuesday to Thursday. And then also that will support an increase in the types and quantities of waste accepted. What I would also say, Chair, is where we can accelerate the timetable, so you'll see in one of the appendices a number of sub-phases, for example, merging phases 2A and 2B to allow Saturday opening, then this will be done. But what I would say, it would be subject to sufficient staffing resources being available. We are constantly reviewing within the department the number of days and the hours of operation with a view to increasing these at the earliest opportunity. And I hope to be able, maybe towards the end of next week, to confirm with members again the timetable of a further enhancement or recovery of that service. What I would say, Chair, is some of the changes are likely required changes to staff working hours and patterns, but we've had constructive dialogue with the trade unions about this, and I can update members with further updates as and when this plan is implemented further, with, of course, the public, more importantly, being kept notified of the changes. So there's no decision there, just maybe ask members to note, but I am more than happy to take any comments or questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. We have quite a few questions in there. Johnny, do you want to take them all at once? Or?
Yeah, Chair, that's probably easier.
Okay. Problem. Okay, Councillor Andrews, have you a question there?
Yes, I have. Well, more or less, Johnny, I was going to propose it, but as you say, it's a statement. It's a very welcome statement. You know, we've been talking about fly tipping and all earlier. And again, it's just more or less just to welcome the announcement this evening and that we're moving into phase 2. That's a good news story and a win situation, though, and hopefully they will be able to help to further eradicate the fly tipping, etc. But again, thank you to thanks to all who are working hard in our recycling centres and providing the service. And again, I welcome the news. It's brilliant.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor McKevitt, a few questions for Johnny.
Yes, thanks very much, Chairperson. Just, Johnny, on the report, it's very welcome indeed. I just noticed that Hilltown has been absent from it. Is there any update on that for reopening?
Okay, thank you, Councillor McKevitt. Councillor Taylor's next for a question there, please.
Yep, thank you, Chair. It's a comment more than a question. Well, first of all, I'd like to say welcome to the fact that we're in phase 2 that we're moving forward with this reopening process. You know, and certainly welcome the fact too that things have been fairly settled in terms of the way the HRCs have been managed over the last number of weeks. There obviously was an initial rush, but that has settled. That's good for everybody, and I think particularly for the staff in terms of dealing with that. I've spoken to Roland about this, in relation to Newton Hamilton, obviously similar to Newtown Hamilton in terms of it's in phase 3 of the reopening process. Now, I have obviously been receiving quite a number of representations as to when it will reopen, and whilst I have been explaining to people that there is a phase process in this regard and that it is in phase 3, I think we are coming to a stage, you know, where we need to try and identify a date or at the earliest opportunity to give some sort of, you know, assurance to people that this is going to reopen soon. Because at the minute we have 2 openings, Sleat Gullion, you know, with Camel and Cross Maglen, but, you know, And that's best of a welcome, but people sometimes obviously want to go to their nearest household recycling centre, and Newton Hamlin did suffer quite a bit over the last period in terms of dumping. You know, I reported, I was inundated in terms of, you know, complaints about dumping, and I reported numerous, you know, incidents of dumping in that area. So, you know, I'm conscious just about getting a date at the earliest opportunity. I'm not asking you to give a commitment on that tonight, Johnny, because I know you can't do that, but I think we should work towards maybe trying to at least give people some sort of hope that these are going to open within whatever number of weeks it may be. At least they know then that they can focus on that going forward.
Yeah, thank you, David. Councillor Riley, your question?
Yes, thank you. Johnny, the recycling centres, there's a lot of confusion over what sort of a trailer you can bring in. And I can remember whenever we were having a general discussion about that, I pointed out that a single axle trailer could be 10 foot long, whereby the standard sort of household trailer is the 8x4, which is generally two axle with four wheels, obviously. But they are being rejected from the recycling centres at the minute. People have been told that you can't bring up a twin axle trailer in. And it just doesn't make sense, Johnny. You know, if it's 8x4 should be the measurement, because that's a small household trailer. You can't bring in mattresses or whatever on a very small trailer or in the bit of your car. The other issue is essential workers have pointed out to me that it's very, very difficult for them to go between 10-4 on a weekday. And I've asked, could there be one late opening in the evening or a Saturday as soon as possible to facilitate their needs? And I wanted to know, what is the actual opening hours? Like, it says 10 to 4 in the literature, but I had people phone me yesterday who complained that they were there a 3:45 and the gates were shut and the staff wouldn't let them in at Ballymajock. So I would like you to investigate that, Johnny, and find out why that happened, because you know yourself, if you travel a distance with a trailer load of or a car load of stuff to deposit there, it's very frustrating if you can't get in. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Casey, have you a question there, please?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. No, it's encouraging news to know that the recycling centres are getting those additional hours. But I would like Johnny to consider and Roland to consider the Saturday morning opening at all times right across all the recycling centres, because a lot of people that are work during the day and they just can't get, as Henry says there, Henry had pointed out, can't get to the recycling centres in a reasonable time. And I know you won't, even if we do, we are restored to the full working hours, what we were before the pandemic. It still won't discourage flight tipping. You'll still get that no matter what. But I think we should try, and as well as opening now on Friday for some time, that we do the Saturday morning one as well. Thanks very much for that.
Thank you, Charlie. Councillor Clark, your question?
Yeah, Chair, just in regards to the Hilltown one, Jerry O'Hare asked me to ask about that as well, so that's what I'm doing there. Just a question, Roland, in regards to, you know, has the contractors been able to recycle the waste stream? Will they be able to recycle the future waste streams? It's been mainly black bin residual waste and green waste, which is a lot of it's within the local district, but further afield, will there be issues about recycling, or is everybody now back working? Have they got their staff back from furlough? And just to put it on the record, I'd like to again thank the management for rolling this out in, you know, in a cohesive manner and dealing with some of the pressures early on, and the frontline staff as well. I'd like to put that on record too. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. We'll take the question from Councillor McKee if it's for Johnny, and we'll let Johnny answer those first. Roland, if that's okay.
That's fine, Chair.
Yes. It's for Johnny.
Oh, it's for Johnny, yeah, that's okay, Harold.
And phase two, does that mean that's all types? Are we back to normality and all types of waste can be taken to a recycling centre? And are we saying that this weekend, come Saturday, that this is all in place? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you,
Councillor
McKee. Johnny, do you want to come in on those questions first there, please?
Yeah, Chair, if we could maybe deal, I think it was Councillors McKevitt, Clark and Taylor, in terms of Hilltown and the Newton Hamilton Household Recycling Centres. At this point, Chair, unfortunately, I'm not able to give a date when they are reopening. However, the intention would be to reopen those facilities as part of Phase 3, as previously presented to the members. But what I would say that is resource dependent. And maybe I could remind members about our recovery plan. It was in the first instance to allow coverage in each of the 7 district electoral areas, and we've currently achieved that. Why were those 2 sites omitted? Simply because we were able to secure coverage in the DEAs by using other sites, plus they would be 2 of our lowest household recycling centres in terms of the tonnages produced on an annual basis. So we feel at this point we're servicing the need, and that's represented in how successful the rollout has been to date. But I would just like to reiterate the intention is to reopen those facilities, but that will be at Phase 3. Chair, in terms of Councillor O'Reilly's queries about trailers, members may recall the Council agreed back in June 2019 new policies governing access to our household recycling centres, and our most recent recovery plan essentially reflects the policy intention of the Council. So there's currently no access permitted for high-sided trailers, but we should be permitting access for others, as alluded to by the councillor. I'm happy to pick up that issue with him afterwards, and indeed the reference he made about closing before the published time outside of this meeting, if that's okay. That may have been to do with servicing, but Chair, if you allow me the opportunity to speak to Councillor O'Reilly outside of the meeting, I'll get to the bottom of those 2 issues. With regards to the query from Councillor Casey, Chair, on Saturday opening, and indeed I think that also came from Councillor O'Reilly too, the intention is to reopen from 8 o'clock to 12 noon on Saturdays. However, that will be subject to the successful reopening next week of Phase 2. So when I mentioned earlier in my update, I would like to give elected members an update towards the end of next week as to when that will happen. I just can't give a specific date as to which specific Saturday. And again, that's due to the whole availability of staffing resources. There was a comment made about contractors. Certainly, my understanding is the vast majority are now back at work. Yes, they had a significant number of staff who were furloughed, and that's largely to respond to the need of all the councils in Northern Ireland who are essentially going through different stages of their recovery plan for the household recycling centres. And I think, Chair, that was all the queries. Maybe you could point out to me if I've missed any, please.
No, I think that's it, Johnny. Thank you very much for that. Roland, do you want to come in there and Councillor Clark?
Yeah, I mean, I think Johnny's covered off part of it there. As Johnny said, the vast majority of contractors are now back operational, which is welcomed. There are some market condition issues which are now become prevalent. For example, textiles recycling is becoming an issue on a European basis at the moment. So we are at the liberty of the market and what recycled demands there is out there. So we will keep members updated with that, and we will always try and ensure that we have a safe and secure and legal avenue for our recyclates and all of our wastes.
Okay, thank you, Roland. Sorry, I'm just saying here, Johnny, Miss Councillor McKee's question was missed there in your response. Councillor Taylor has a note up there.
Okay, yes, Chair, I see that now. I do beg your pardon. I think that was a reference to waste being accepted and also what we were doing this particular weekend. Well, Chair, there's no change at this point in time because Phase 2 is going to start from Monday, the 22nd of June. So that will only be for the 5 days. It will not include a Saturday opening at that point. And in terms of the acceptable waste, yes, we're more or less back to normal before COVID, the only exception being commercial waste, which we don't propose to accept until a later phase.
Johnny, Councillor O'Reilly and Councillor Casey want to come in there again. Is that okay with you to answer those questions?
Yeah, happy to do that, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, Councillor Riley, do you want to ask Johnny that question there? If folks, if you could just keep to using this messenger just for Q, P and S, that would be great. Thank you.
I'm happy to speak to Johnny outside that. It was just for clarification on the small 8x4 trailers. Are they allowed? Will they be allowed in from Monday the 27th?
Okay, thank you, Henry. That's okay. You can talk outside of the meeting. Charlie, do you want to come in and ask that question there just when you're in?
Yeah, apologies for that. I meant to say it to Johnny about say it to Roland earlier on the meeting about the restoration of the bulky lift. I know we were able to get rid of most of our stuff now at the recycling centres, or the vast majority of it, so that would allow the bulky lift service to be reinstated. Johnny?
Yeah, sure. The bulky collection service is something that we're actively looking at in terms of reinstating. It's more linked to a recovery of the cleansing service. Members will be aware that we have been operating a restricted cleansing service in order to protect the curbside collection. And what that means in practice is that you have drivers and you have operators from cleansing working in refuse. So I suppose it comes down to the availability of staffing again, but certainly with regards to the recovery plan for refuse collection, it would be part of phase two. I just can't give a specific date at that point, but it is something that we're reviewing on a daily basis.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. Roland just wants to come in there before we take a question from Councillor Malone.
Yeah, it's just to highlight again, Chair. I'm sure members appreciate who have visited our household recycling centres. We've had to put more resources into our household recycling centres at this time to deal with COVID measures and to ensure that they're operating in a safe manner. So I know members are keen to get us back to a full recovery as soon as possible. Please bear in mind we've had to take resources from other parts of the Neighbourhood Services Directive to open the sites that we've opened now and with the hours that we have now. So we are trying to stretch this and we're trying to move as quick as we can, but it has to be done safely and it has to be done with the resources that we have available.
Thank you, Roland. Councillor Malone, have you one last question there?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just thanks, Johnny and Roland. Just something similar to Charlie with regards to bulky collection, if we can get that up and running as quick as possible, because I've been inundated, I'm sure councillors are, with regards to people who have stuff at their homes and people need to get lifted as soon as possible. But big thanks to the council staff and big thanks to everyone who have been working their socks off. So thanks, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Gavin. I think Johnny's covered that one in his last answer. So if everyone's happy enough, I think we have a proposer there in Councillor Andrews, if he would just like to speak for the audio.
So proposed, Chair, and I welcome the proposal.
Thank you. And I think Gary Stokes came in there as a seconder.
Happy to second the report, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we move on to items 10 to 15 are all ARC 21 updates. We're going to take these all together as proposal and seconding on all five items. Johnny is going to come in and speak on those first. So if you're all happy enough, we'll take those five items together. They're just for noting. So, Johnny, if you'd like to come in on that.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I don't propose to go through each of the items. Within items 10 to 15, you have the ARC 21 member bulletins, joint committee meeting minutes, and then a briefing from the Chair and Chief Executive, which was taken under delegated authority because of COVID, and that would have been the joint committee meeting in April. So, again, as you say, that's for noting, unless members have any comments or questions.
Thank you, Johnny. I don't see any comments coming in there. We have, Harold McKee's typing here. Okay, it's just a proposal. We have a proposal there from Charlie Casey, if he'd like to speak for the audio.
Yeah, I'd like to propose those ARC papers, 10 through to 15.
Thank you, Charlie. And we have a seconder there in Councillor Catherine Owen.
Yeah, I'm happy to second those 10 to 15. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on, folks, to item 16, which is the Historic Actions Tracking Sheet. Roland, are you coming in on that one, please?
Yes, Chair. So, again, we'll be looking for a proposer and a seconder for accuracy.
and then happy to take it page by page for any matters arising, arising, Chair.
Okay, we have, with no comments, we have Councillor Andrews has proposed. Have we, and we have Councillor Owen has seconded that, Roland, so.
Do you want to walk through, please?
Councillor Andrews, could you propose that to the audio, please?
So proposed, Chairperson.
Thank you. And Councillor Owen, could you do the same for your second?
Seconded, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we move on to items. With quite a few.
Sorry, Chair. Just want to check there's no matters arising on the historic action sheet if members are happy enough with that. If you want to.
I don't see anything coming up there, Roland.
Okay.
Person.
All right. Is everyone
That's
happy
great.
Enough?
Thank you.
I think they are. There's nothing coming in there. Okay, folks. Items 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27 and 28 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the Council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during these items of business. So, can I get a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session, please?
So proposed, Chairperson.
Second.
Second. I have second, Chair. Thank you.
So that's Terry Andrews has proposed. Who came in there first for the second?
Sorry, Chair. Yes, bring the press back in.
We just need a proposer and a seconder to come out of closed session there, please. Thank you, Karen. So, Councillor McKevitt proposed. Can you speak for the audio, Councillor McKevitt?
Gladly proposed, Chair.
Thank you. And Councillor Andrews seconded. Can you do the same?
Julie seconded it, Chairperson.
Thank you. Okay, so... On item 17, the business case...
Sorry, Chair, you need to just wait a wee minute just to see if the press come back in.
The press are in. I've let them back in.
Okay.
Are they all in?
Yeah.
Great, thank you. Thank you. Okay, on item 17, the business case to proceed with Phase 2 extension of Warren Point Municipal Cemetery and update on other cemetery projects. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor McKevitt, it was agreed to note the content of the report and associated business case and to accept the conclusion of the business case that option 2 be chosen. Option 2 will see the appointment through a tender process of a competent contractor to undertake the works required to complete Phase 2 of Warren Point Municipal Cemetery and make ready an additional 320 burial plots. It was also agreed to note the estimated total cost of this project, preliminaries, construction, consultancy costs, plus a contingency sum, and to agree to the transfer of a sum as outlined in the report from the Monk's Hill Municipal Cemetery Phase 2 and 3 budget, should this be required to complete the project. Item 18 was the business case for the procurement of Christmas illuminations and an artificial Christmas tree. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor O'Reilly, it was agreed to note the content of the report and associated business case and accept the conclusion of the business case that option 2 is chosen as the preferred option. Option 2 will see the procurement of 145 pole-mounted Christmas illuminations and a 12-metre-high artificial Christmas tree, and also give authority to officers to carry out more detailed work to ensure that putting a 12-metre tree will not jeopardise the use of the event space and will not be too big for that space. Item 19 is the business case for the supply of PPE and staff uniforms for Neighbourhood Services Directorate. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to note the content of the report and associated business case and accept the conclusion of the business case that option 3 is chosen as the preferred option. Option 3 will see a tender or tenders issued to appoint one or several suppliers to provide the Neighbourhood Services Directorate and the AHC Community Engagement Department with all PPE and staff uniform requirements through dividing the requirements into relevant lots. This will be for a one-year period but may be extended by a further 2 years. Item 20 was the business case for annual servicing and maintenance of lifts in council buildings. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the content of the report and associated business case and accept the conclusion of the business case that option 3 is chosen as the preferred option. Option 3 will see the appointment through a tender process of a competent contractor to service, maintain and complete safety checks on all 32 lifts in the Council Asset Register. It will also see the appointment of a consultant to assist with auditing the performance of the successful contractor and quotations for repairs outside the scope of contract. Item 21 is the business case for inspection, testing and maintenance of council fire alarm systems. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the content of the report and associated business case and accept the conclusion of the business case that option 2 is chosen as the preferred option. Option 2 will see the appointment through a tender process of a competent contractor to inspect, test and maintain council fire alarms throughout council premises at recommended intervals, ensuring council's legal compliance. Just bear with me 1 minute, please. Okay, item 22 is the business case for annual servicing, maintenance and monitoring of intruder alarm systems in council buildings. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the content of the report and associated business case and accept the conclusion of the business case that option 3 is chosen as the preferred option. Option 3 will see the appointment through a tender process of a competent contractor to service, maintain and monitor all 45 intruder alarm systems in the Council Assets Register. Item 23 was the report on waste contract correspondence. On the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Casey, it was agreed to note the content of the report dated the 17th of June 2020 and agree to option 3. Item 24 is to on the report on Bring Sites review. On the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Casey, it was agreed to note the content of the report and agree to a reduction in the current number of bottle bank Bring Sites across the district. Future provision to be restricted to the 22 sites set out at Appendix 1. The use of the contractor for the future safety and future safety inspection and maintenance of Bring Sites at a cost per annum detailed in the report, and to authorise officials to explore income generation opportunities attached to the disposal of the redundant stock of Bring Sites. It was also agreed that when removing the sites, that potential recycling options for Island Park, Newcastle will be considered. Item 25 is the business case for RCVs. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor McKee, it was agreed to approve the business cases for the replacement of 6 refuge collection vehicles at Appendix 2. Item 26, ARC 21 Joint Committee Meeting Minutes, 27th of February 2020. On the proposal of Councillor McKee, seconded by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed to note the ARC 21 Joint Committee Meeting Minutes held on Thursday, the 27th of February 2020. Item 27, ARC 21 Joint Committee Briefing, 26th of March 2020. On the proposal of Councillor McKee, seconded by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed to note the ARC 21 Joint Committee Briefing held on Thursday, the 26th of March 2020. And finally, item 28, ARC 21 Joint Committee Briefing, 30th of April 2020. On the proposal of Councillor McKee, seconded by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed to note the ARC 21 Joint Committee Briefing held on Thursday, the 30th of April 2020. Folks, I think that's us. If Roland or Sarah wants to confirm that that's all we have on the agenda.
That's all the items on the agenda. Chair, thank you.
Thank you very much to everyone for participating in the meeting.
Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Anna. Well chaired. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair.
Well done, Chair. Agenda. Well done.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.